Maria che ha da voce e figlio di quanto popolo, ma la clava da tutto il suo di freno, la malla tu sei di libra, non tu che la padre che sono le sopravvive. O lo ti chiedi un spray, ti chiedi un suono, ti chiedi un adoration, alga la pagosso te. E la mandri che te devo sottolineare, la Holy Spirit will welcome you. Alla batrigo non desisto di elimbrabia. We welcome you to this home. We welcome you to this tabernacle. E da casa gala badaba. We say this is your house. This is your temple. This is the house that you have portrayed, that you have bought with your own blood. E la macatoria la badada. Be extolled, O Lord. Take the place, O Lord. Alaba cantiri andada bako sotolia. E via clavo, shekre de boto suce di andre de geano. No, this is your house. This is your temple. This is your tabernacle. It is not ours. Okay. It belongs to you. The angel of the Lord, whose we are. La bako sotolia. Thank you, Lord, because you are present in this place. Alla bacchetta da monte su scordia la vagato. Illa bala bala dopo coscendra da da badaba. He says, oh, you know that you are not the little owner of yourself any longer. You have been portrayed to the bride. Alla bacco su scordia la vagato. You have been owned by the Lord. Illa macata kadaba. I don't know if you own. Lord, come to your home tonight. Come to your home tonight. Come to your house tonight. Lord, we welcome you. La Macodia la Broco de Negociate. Elendo Boko Shakele de Boko Sotoria lava. Iriana mama 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 mama. Say, no, you don't. That you are not your own. That you have been portrayed to the Christ. Ina Macodia lava de Boko Sotoria lava. Elia, my head of spirit and your body, which is the Lord. In our mother's land, we are the Lord. We are the Lord's possession. Ila maklaka de togo sotori alaba. Ila makatori alaba. People who are blood bought, purchased with a price. In our moko sotori, not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. In our klaka de togo sotori alaba. Oh Lord, we appreciate you. We appreciate you, Lord. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. You said, let the other light, and there was light. Let your light shine in our heart today. Have your place. Have your way. Take your place, oh God. In our maklaka dabade toboso. Help our weaknesses. Help our infirmities. In our mamoko sende riyalaba. You said, we who have this treasure in this earthly vessel. Ina mani dogo ko shatara la ba 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 ba. Ula ba 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 ka santa la ba. Lord, we acknowledge your presence in our lives. You said, can I see that in you? You said that which you will keep us for us shall be in us. We thank you, Lord, for that which is in us. You are not just walking with us. You are in us. And then you are walking with us. Ina mamakosotoria la mama mama. Ina mama 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 mama. Ina mama 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 koshanda la wa. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Ina mamakosotoria la wa. You are welcome in this broken vessel. Ina maklaka tata bobo koshanda rene bobo bobo sto. Ina baka sike rabada baka taka. Lord, we welcome you into our life. Ina mama mama, we share with you. This is your house. This is your temple. This is the house that you have purchased to the Christ. Ina mama mama, we dedicate this house unto you, O God. It is your house. It is not ours. Ina mama to shenderi ala mama. Ina mama bolo ko shenderi gada gada ba. Because our body is the Lord. Our spirit is the Lord. Ila makate galabado sotoria. O la makatri alabado seteria laba. O ria gadama koso probo bobo borro tobo posanda laba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are welcome in the deepest. You are welcome. Lord, we declare and proclaim that we are the Lord over this house. We are the Lord. We are the Lord's heritage. We are His precious possession. He has been purchased with the price. And we declare that this is your house. We say this is your temple. This is your abiding place. And you desire to abide with us. Lord, that we also desire to abide with you. Lord, that you abide in us. That we also abide in you. Lord, we say your position in our life. Lord, we are favorably disposed unto him. Lord, it is acceptable unto us. It is good in our sight. That is the best offer that we can ever have. Oh, Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise because there could be a privilege. He said, by the mercies of God, we have received this ministry. Therefore, we praise God. We can see the heart of mercy. We can see God's act of kindness. We can see God's act of benevolence. We can see God's act of liberality. Lord, we appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We are seeing God's favor upon our life. We are considering ourselves blessed. Lord, we appreciate you. Lord, we are so blessed. We are blessed. We are highly fortunate. We are blessed. Lord, we thank you. You have blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. In the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Lord, we can see into the dimension of blessing tonight. And we know that we are blessed. Even when people look at us and look down on us. Even when the disciples look at us as if it's so. We know we are blessed. The way you are dealing with us, you are chastising us as sons, not dealing with us as bastards. Yet we know we are blessed. It's a great privilege. It's by the mercy of God. We have come for the fellowship of the Son, of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, so that we can share everything according with Him, so that we can share your soul, we can share your power, we can share your perspective, we can share your intention, we can share your glory. Father, we thank you. Oh, what a great honor. What a great privilege that we have this form of humanity. That through us, the power of divinity will begin to find expression. That God will begin to lead in a mortal man. We have the treasure in half the vessel. Therefore, we faith not. Even though our outward man wastes away, we know he's never revealed our inward thoughts. He's moving us towards the fulfillment of his purpose and of his plan for our life. Because his desire is great. He said, the parts of the here have their nest. He said, fuck this apple. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. He said, I will not give myself rest or sleep until I find the resting place for the Lord. Lord, you have found the resting place in us. Lord, this is your place. This is your house. This is the house you paid for. This is the house you paid for. You paid for it with your precious blood. We are not redeemed by similar gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We appreciate, Lord. We thank you for the world that see our redemption. You said we are redeemed by the word of the Lord. Not the cross. You said the flower said it. The grass withered it. But the word of the Lord abides. The world has seen our redemption. Abide forever. We are standing on that word. We appreciate you, Lord. Upon the integrity of the word of the Lord, we rejoice today. We see the word, we rejoice. Oh, we appreciate you, Lord.
Thank you.
We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. God, in the name of Jesus, sounds of joy and rejoicing. We begin to break forth from the heart of all the listeners to this word tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit of depression, abide in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of sorrow, abide in the name of Jesus. For the power we have, God, that we have rejoicing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because the people of God will break forth into your heart. And we will break forth into downstairs. In the mighty name of Jesus. For the mind will be turned on for them saying, in the name of Jesus, what the devil thinks is doing not that for us. You will see, and God means to what you want to improve on your life and the breath of you and make you to be all that he wants you to be. Bring in many stones of the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life will bring glory to God. It's a big honor to God. You will fulfill the purpose of your existence. The reason why God created me. You will fulfill that purpose. You will live the life you are designed to. In the mighty name of Jesus. And then I come. The day that the prophet saw and they said, oh, they want to look into him. But God deprived them of that privilege. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yes. They are always going to rejoice and be glad in it. But the people are not going to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. God, I pray for encounter with Christ tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I give you praise. Just give God praise. Of your heart, just celebrate. The King of Kings tonight.
Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise. We give you glory. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Most very special way, I want to welcome you to this platform, this Holy Ghost channel, this the frequency at which God is transmitting his divine counsel and intention in this end of the age. There are few frequencies which God is transmitting his divine intention. And this apostolic medium, one of the channels through which God is transmitting his heart intention this end time. So I want you to consider yourself privileged wherever you are listening to this word of God. This is the word that will bring transformation into your life. This is the word that we set to fulfill God's plan, purpose, and purpose for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. We'll be running this series on walking in divine obedience. Walking in divine obedience. Walking in divine obedience. Walking in divine obedience. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we are taking for a text for Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians chapter 2. And we said, if there be, from verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mind, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We've been talking about the life that God really wants us to live. This is what we can actually call a victorious life. This is a life of obedience. But we are not designed to walk in this order. The nature we carry before we step into Christ is not designed to conform to this order of God. That is why we need something to, you know, to cut us off, even from the hold, so that we can be connected and be grafted into the need before we can begin to lead this form of life. This is what we call a victorious life. In the course of this series of teachings, we'll be sharing the fact that when people come to our home, they come to our family, they must begin to see the mark of Christ, the mark of victory in our life. It's not all about knowledge. The Bible says knowledge profits all. You don't need to have our head full of the Bible. The Bible says, you know, the kingdom of God is not just in words, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. So the power dimension is the ability, the force that is required to carry out God's instruction and God's order for our life. That's why you're going to see in the book of Titus, chapter 1, you're going to see the people that God described in the city of Crete who profess to be a believer. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. These are children of disobedience. They have been walking once in obedience. They have been obedient unto God, you understand, by receiving Christ into their life, but they cannot continue in the life of obedience. And because they slip back and, you know, retrogress back and reverted back into the flesh, you know, the devil begins to take advantage of them. They created an opening in their life for demonic assault. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are not a form of believer that have a form of godliness. When you go to some of my churches today, you're going to see that you're going to see a form of godliness. You want the people with big worship, people with big drum set, people with, you know, play keyboard, people with lead the choir, people who are going to be the horseshoe team. You know, everything is being done methodologically in the sense that you begin to see the order. And you want to be carried away and think, well, this is what we call a form of godliness. But, you know, godliness is not something that you find in a thing. You know, virtue cannot be found in things. Virtue is found in men. So what really makes the church as a man? The composition of the men that make the church, not the size of the cathedral, not the size of the congregation, not the musical instrument, not everything that is being done, you know, in an orderly manner. You know, and you begin to feel, oh, God must be in this place. Glory to God. That's why God's attention is on man. You know, he has come to save man, not to save things. He has come to call man into obedience, not things to obedience. We make every other thing to begin to fulfill the purpose of God when we align ourselves with the life of obedience that God has called us and has invited us to. Praise the name of the Lord. So we don't want to be contented, you understand, a form of godliness. They're going to see, you see, the name, you know, Jesus' name, you know, shout hallelujah, come and praise God, somebody. All of those things that look like, you know, like it looks so, it looks saintly on the outside. But you see, when you begin to penetrate deep into the life of men, you begin to see that these are not true saints of God. So these are not true saints of God. Even places where you see the word of God being preached, but you see there's absence of divine life. You know, the value of the word is, you know, can only come to the forefront when we begin to see lives of men being changed and being transformed according to the word of God that is being preached. Praise the name of the Lord. Paul has to look at those guys and say, well, you have a letter of commendation. You know, you have their speech to you that the people read. That is the effect of his ministry. That is the effect of his work. We don't want a form of godliness. After we said, hallelujah, somebody, I love you, brother, say all the good things, all the language that we use in the church, after we've done all of those things, we still begin to have bitterness against one another. We begin to not marry against one another. There's still division among us. We still live like mere men, unchanged men. That is not the sign of a victorious life. That's what I'm presenting to you is Christ and being crucified, because it's the only pathway and the surest way to a life of a victorious life, and a godly life. A godly life is a victorious life. You are victorious in the sense that, you know, in spite of what is happening all around you, in spite of all the, you know, all the factors really taking against you, being all that God wants you to be, you go ahead to do the will of God. He says, shining as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He's not talking about shining as light in the midst of, you know, fame. No, not where everything is exception. You know, that he's not talking about a terrain, you understand, that I really want to, you know, that I really want to complement your desire to serve the will of God. We live in a terrain that, you know, that contradicts, that is in contrast, you know, with God's desire for our life. Even our body system, the nature that we carry, you understand, it's not in agreement with the will of God. The Bible tells us that, you know, that your flesh, you know, is placing demand on you, and your spirit is also placing demand on you, so that you will not be able to do the will of God. So that you have been pushed, you know, to a different direction, even while God is calling you to walk in a new direction. Praise the name of the Lord. So in spite of all of those things, you still go ahead, having victory over your flesh, and still do the will of God. You know, that's what we are talking about. Praise the name of the Lord. That's what we call divine obedience. And I tell you that every step of obedience in the spirit, you understand, it shows that a battle has been fought and has been won in the spirit. Because every step of obedience is a product of a battle that has been fought in the spirit. You got to fight against your flesh. You understand? Paul said, I beat my body. I put it under. Or I make it to do what God wants it to do. I will not follow what my flesh is telling me. That's a battle, you know, that we God has to fight on a daily basis. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've got to fight. I've got to contend with all these natural realities of life. All these, you know, all of these things, you know, that, you know, post-synaptic against my destiny. All of those things that look so legitimate, but yet they are not complementary to God's plan and purpose for my life. You know, my legitimate desire, I've got a war against it. You know, those issues that are warring against me in my members, I've got to put it behind me before I can go ahead to do the will of God. That is the kind of fight that God wants us to fight. That's what the Bible calls the good fight of faith. Let our life be just be left with what we call a form of godliness. You understand? Something that is artificial, but it's not really authentic. It doesn't have any life. Something that is ornamental in outlook, but lacks divine life. He says they have a form, but they deny the power. You know, they deny the power thereof. Hallelujah. In other words, they have the form, but they do not have the force of godliness. Now, what is it that can release the force into our life? Because we need the energy of the Spirit to live this form of life that God has invited us to live. We need the energy of the Spirit to live a victorious life. And it's not something we can do by ourselves. It's not something we can do on our own. If the law would have given us the ability to do all of those things, Christ is not to have come. Because of the weakness of the law to be able to do this to a fallen man, that is why Jesus came in form of a man. And, you know, he became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You understand? So we have carried the spirit of the Son of God on the inside of us. So we can live above all of those things. What we could not do, you understand, because of the weakness of our flesh, you understand, Jesus has not come to abolish the law, but he has come to fulfill the law. That's what the Bible says. So that the he said, so that the righteous demand of the law can be fulfilled. See, you understand? Even to those who are in Christ Jesus, present of the law. That's why, you see, the kind of obedient life, a proved and tested life, you understand, that Jesus fought for. That's why every time you begin to sing the Bible, when God says we are more than conquerors, we are more than conquerors, God is talking about the results you have to walk with. It's a proved and tested life of obedience. You understand that God has come to prove it to us. That's what we call the spirit of the Son. He said we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of the Son. Therefore we cry, Abba, Father. So God has put the spirit of the Son inside of us, the spirit of obedience. So you need that force to push through. Hallelujah. You need a new package to drive your computer. To drive, you understand, whatever thing you want to produce, what you want to do to your computer, praise the Lord. So it's a new package, you know, it's a new design, it's a new configuration that God is putting into us. Because the old configuration cannot drive our spiritual engine. That is why God is bringing us into this newness of life. And what will make this newness of life a reality is to accept the offer that God has given us with us. Why? Because something has to be taken out of the way before a new frontier can be broken in your life. So until what should be taken out of the way is taken out of the way, is displaced, it is there that the life of God will be built into your life. That's why we are talking about the power that releases the force into your life. You understand? When you read some of this in the Philippians chapter 2, you understand, and begin to see the form of life that God really wants us to live. You know, it's going to astound you. This is beyond me. This is beyond what my flesh can do. This is beyond what, you know, I can do by myself. I was sharing in the church and I said, you know, that it's not only in the church that God wants us to live this form of life, but also in our homes, in our families. So that when people come, and they begin to see the sign of the cross in our life. They begin to see, you know, people who have received the message of the cross, who have been crushed by the power of the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. They cannot live unto themselves any longer. You understand? They are dead to their personal desire. They are living for the desire of God. The reason why corruption comes into our lives is simply because we are not dead to our natural desire. He said, you know, the corruption continues to multiply because of our natural desire. And you see, a man who is dead, you know, he doesn't have any desire any longer. Glory to God. He doesn't have any desire. That's why God said you have to reckon yourself dead. You understand, when we're talking about the Bible being, we are talking about this order of God. That's where people are running away from today. And you're going to see a lot of, you know, diplomatic preachers. You're going to see a lot of political preachers. You understand? Trying to philosophize the gospel. You know, trying to sell out to us the philosophy that is alien to the kingdom of God by removing the cross from the gospel. Nothing changed any longer when you remove the cross. But if you allow the Holy Ghost himself to teach you the message of the cross, to let you know the benefits of it, to let you know the power that is infused into you, and for the thought of you carrying your cross, you will carry your cross with joy, you know, thanks to the shame of the devil, to the amazement of the ignorant and the unlearned. Because they wonder why you are doing what you are doing. They wonder why you got to let go of some things. They wonder why you are behaving the way you are behaving. Listen to me. Christ is not going to live his life through us until we are ready to die to our own will and our own selfish desire. Until we are ready to die to our own selfish desire. See, when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to teach us the things of God, then we will know our level of enslavement to self. Then we know that, you know, our undoing is not just the devil that is behind some of these things that happen in our life. He's not the one responsible for some of the things that happen in our life, but we begin to learn to take responsibility, you know, over our whole life, confronting our true personality. Praise the name of the Lord. That something got to break open, something got to die in our life, so that Christ can begin to live his life through us. The life he lives through us is what we call the victorious life. We don't have it. He is the one who has it. So the power that drives those things, that releases the power into your life. That's what God is offering us. That's why the greatest good that God can give to man is the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The only offer that God can give to man in order for a man to be translated and be moved into the dimension of glory is the cross of Jesus. And see, we've got to allow the Holy Ghost himself to teach us this truth. Not allow men, you understand, you know, who are legalistic, you know, in their orientation, in their upbringing, in their religious philosophy, so that could teach us about the cross of Jesus. You understand? So, because it's not something that is legalistic. It's something we're going to take with joy and gladness. You know, he said the days of his power, his people shall be willing. We are living the days of revelation of the Spirit. When the revelation of the Spirit is there, we'll be willing to embrace the cross. This is after God has given unto us. Well, it's like someone that said, well, you have a very serious ailment, and you've got to be wheeled to the theater. And for a surgical operation to be done over you. And he said, well, I want to live with the pain. I want to live with all of those. He said, but just think that it's causing pain in your life. You have to be removed, but we're going to cut you open. And he said, well, if you speak that, he said, no, I don't want to face that, you know, I don't want to face that scenario. I don't want to go for surgery. Then you live in your pain. Those who do not want to receive the hop out of the cross, you know what I'm saying? They are still living in their sin. They are living in their sin. They are living in their sin. Sin still has dominion over them. The law still has dominion over them. But God said, when we accept the message of the cross, he said, we are no longer under the law. Glory to God. But we are under grace. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over us. Glory to God. You see, a man who is dead cannot be invited by sin to come and do something. And to come and do something stupid. Because he's even dead to that thing. So he cannot be invited by the devil. He cannot be attracted by anything any longer. It's not only sin. Even the law, you know, because you are not under the law. You are not doing things with a sense of duty, trying to please God in the flesh, in disobedience. You understand? But you are accepting the truth of God's word. God has not, you know, God has not saved us so that we can keep the law. God has saved us so that we can love it. God has saved us, you understand, so that we can follow the Lamb. Glory to God. It's the Lamb of glory. Glory to God. We are saved so that we can love it. You know, so love is the ruling force. It's the ruling, you know, it's the ruling factor in our life. It's the dominating factor in our life. We are not under the rule of love. We are under the rule of love. So there's a new law. There's a new rule that has been introduced. That's what Paul called, you know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the law of sin and death is there. They are contracting laws. We were under one kind of law before, but we come under a new rule, a new management. I said, the Bible says, as many as have been led by the Spirit, the same Romans chapter 8, he said, as led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. In other words, those people whose life is being governed, you understand, by this new management, is being controlled by a new thought. Hallelujah. By divine law. You understand? Glory to God. Yes, they are sons of God. They are sons of God. And that is one way we can grow in grace. That is one way we can make the grace of God manifest in our generation. That is one way we can make everything that Christ died for to become a reality in our life and also in our generation. That is one way God can connect us to our generation and make us to be a blessing to our generation. We just not going to be sitting back there and being dumb. You understand? So God not just want us to build the church and populate the church, but God wants people who have been through the process. And it takes understanding to go along with God in this process of maturity, in this process of becoming, you understand, an heir and joint heir to God. In this, you know, coming to the management, the boss, you know, the boss mission of God. Hallelujah. To become, you know, members of management in the boss room of God. Yeah, so that's what God wants to bring us to, whereby you and God, you stick together and legislate over the affairs of life, because your Father owns everything. You know, so it's taking a process. God is thinking about, right, he's going to swap off into these, you know, this management team of his to manage the affairs of this life on his behalf. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's not enough for us to just have a form, but to have the force. the thoughts, of God in us. Hallelujah. So, see, what makes this to be a reality in the Philippian church is the thoughts that is released. So that's why Paul said, not just in mere words, but in power. You know, you see, in the Corinthian church, there's a lot of arguments. There's a lot of, a lot of protest. There's a lot of, people try to, do all manner of things in the Corinthian church. You understand? And Paul said, well, you don't have to go on, keep hacking with them. Let's see the world. You understand? Who have the form, and let's see the one who have the form. Just like, the contention between, Pharaoh, the Egyptians, the magicians in Egypt, and that of Moses. It was a contentious issue. It was like the story of Aaron. You understand? The Aaron's rod and body. When those people were contending with him, I said, well, we are the one, the priest that God has appointed. I said, well, let everybody have his rod, let us appear before the temple. You understand? And the one whose rod body is the one that carried the life. So Paul was saying to them that not in mere words, let's see the one whose rod body. Let's see the one who is fruitful. He said, knowledge coming off, but love and the power. He said, let not that man think he knows, let that man know that he knoweth not as he ought to know. They must have, because knowledge must have brought you to a place of fruitfulness. The true mark of knowledge is fruitfulness. If you claim that you know God, you profess that you are Christian, then let's see the mark of union life in your life. Let's see the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life. You have the life, you have the power. Listen, men can counterfeit miracles, they can counterfeit anything, but you cannot counterfeit it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You cannot stand it. You cannot take it. You may have something that looks like it, because niceness is not the fruit of the Spirit. God has not called us to be nice. You understand? God has called us to be real men. You understand? God has called us to be authentic men. Men who know that as we hide that, so we have in the life. Complete men. That's what God has called us to be, not a distant man living a disintegrated life. Glory to God. God has called us to the place of his fullness. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are talking about the power that release the thoughts into our life. And that's what people don't wait to take. They cannot obey God to that thought. That is why you're going to have people called the children of disobedience. They're going to have every other thing. The only thing they cannot have is the cross. To die, to tell. And that sort of life become an hero to all manner of demonic activity. Why? Because he wanted to use the whole engine to power the new model. And God knows that the new model cannot run by the whole engine. So you've got to dispose the whole, you've got to displace the whole for the new engine, you understand, to be installed so that it can power the new model. God has his landmark. God has his standard. God said, this is my expectation of you. This is what I want from you. I just want you to be bringing out the thoughts to the people. As I am, just begin to show it to them. That we show forth the praise of him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. I put the hand in the loop. They don't see me physically. You understand? And I'm invisible, God. You understand? But I want to make myself visible. You understand? To the men who are in the world. I want to make myself visible. Is an invisible God who wants to make himself visible to the visible world. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is what the one who actually achieved. Well, how you see that we're going to sit in the boardroom of God together? I say, God, Daddy, how are we going to do this thing together? Can you just imagine something, a kind of picture I want to paint in your mind, Just like what happened to Jesus when he went to the mountain of transfiguration. He began to have interaction with Elijah, with Moses. And God began to show up. God began to encourage him. But, that was a kind of a board meeting. He said, over this affairs of redemption of the lost humanity, what is the stage of things? What is the status report? What is the next thing? What is the next thing? Why Jesus was busy with that? Those guys were busy with who will be on the right side, who will be on the left side, who is going to take over from Jesus, who is going to be the commander-in-chief of this, who is going to be the chairman of this. And that's what we're going to see the church doing today. We never share the pain of the Father. We don't ever come to the boardroom and ask him and say, how do we go about this business? And so that means you have a plan. Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. Yes. There's something that prompts a life of obedience. There's something that prompts a life of obedience to God. These are the desires. These are the new instincts. These are the new thought pattern, mentality that God wants us to have that make a life of obedience easy, because it's a family affair. If you are legislating over a family matter, over a family issue, over a family business, it has to do with the family of God. Hallelujah. Okay. It has to do with God's purpose on earth. It's a family thing. We must be about our father's business. While others are busy with their own father's business, You should see for me, they are killing their own father's business because they are father the devil. We must go all around the place thinking about our own father's business and say, Daddy, which role do you want me to play? Where do you really want me to fit in? What is it that can be adjusted in my life? What is it that I have to let go in order to make this kingdom a reality in my generation? In order to make you known for my generation? You know, and I said, when you put a step aside in all cases of life and let me come to the front. I said, Jesus, you know, I don't want to come. I don't want to step aside. I want to be in the front. Jesus, I said, Pastor, well, you know how what it takes to do the work. I said, well, then, if that is the way it's going, you know, I'm going to step aside for you. We are talking about what is divine obedience now. Or first begin to think about who is that concerns God. You understand? You are not thinking about your own personal concern. The yoke that has hindered many people from stepping into the fullness of God's plan for their life. Because they are carrying the yoke of self-concern. Glory to God, this God will be broken in our life. This kind of life style, God will be terminated in our life. And that is at the instance of the cross. That is what the cross comes to do for us. It comes to terminate the whole and release us into the new. You know, Paul was having a dialogue with the Father, was praying one day. And he said, God said, God, I pray 3 times that this cross should be removed from my flesh. And God said, God answered him, he said, well, my gift is sufficient for you. He said, in your weakness, I will make my strength perfect. He said, if that is what it takes to make your purpose to be fulfilled on earth, it looks like a boardroom prayer. It's communion. You understand? You're having a kind of boardroom meeting with God. You are legislating over the affairs of life. You understand? Because the health and the fullness thereof belongs to me. And see, the recovery plan is in place. And see, we've got to keep updating God and we've got to keep being updated by God on the status report. And God said, well, you are for, as far as you are concerned, Paul, this is the role I want you to play. You understand? He said, don't worry. The way, only way through which I can make my glory manifest through your life, you understand, is for you to bring you to the hand of yourself. When you become helpless, you understand, just like someone, you understand, who gets drowned. You understand? You know, in the sea. You understand? While he was swimming, you understand? And you see, before you help that second man, you've got to really make sure that the person has really struggled for a while. When he has lost every strength, then I learned that, you know, people, you know, who are good swimmers, you understand, who know how to, you know, help people, rescue people, you understand, who get drowned. They will always tell you that you've got to get that person to, he must have struggled for a while. And whether he is exhausted with strength, then you can dive into the ocean and just use one hand like this to pick that person up. But then that's not going to follow because he's no longer struggling with you any longer. Most times, well, we do not understand the way God is dealing with us because we don't understand the way of the Spirit. Most times, God, we have to bring us to the head of ourselves so that he will be able to rescue us. He'll be able to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. He'll be able to rescue us from all our troubles that is troubling our life. Listen to me, if you are still struggling, you know, with the person who wanted to rescue you, then both of you are going to get down together. And if that person is smart enough, you know, that's going to let go of your hand. Because that's going to allow you to pull him down. Most of the time when we get to the end of ourselves, it's simply because there's something God wants to do in our life. We go through the worst of pain. You understand? It shows that something God wants to do in our life. That's always about pain. The Bible says, as soon as Zion travail, there's no travail that goes without a pain. He said to bring forth. There's something to bring forth. There's something God is up to. And Paul said, well, I'm ready to obey. That is what I call divine obedience. This is not a man who wants to say, listen, who wants secrets? Who wants that kind of, you know, abnormalities of life? Who wants to carry those things? You know, he went to the church of Galatians, the Galatian church. He said, when I first came out to you, you always want to go just your heart for me. He said, I was sick of this. I have a kind of ailment, you understand, that's enough to put you up. You understand? I'm glad you still embrace me with joy and gladness. You understand? You're welcoming. But on the account of the truth, you try to disassociate yourself from me. You understand? But you're going to see that it's just trying to pay a picture of what he went through in his life. Most times, our life is characterized with pain. Our life is characterized with all manner of things. But yet, you know, that's God wants us to conform to his order, to his instruction, to keep obeying. Even when things are going bad and going the other way around, you keep obeying God. Hallelujah. How many of us know that Jesus literally felt the pain on the cross? When his friends denied him and said they don't know him again, he felt the pain in his heart. It was like a dagger that went through his heart. He passed the pain. You understand? But that would not stop him from obeying God. That would not stop him from obeying God. He continued to do good. He continued to obey God. A lot of us, we stop obeying God. Why? Because somebody has done something, you know, to us, something bad. You know, because somebody has taught us. Just because we don't have our natural expectation granted. Just because we don't have our way. You understand? Some things will not happen when we want it to happen. So we stop walking divine obedience. You understand? But you see, when it has to do with divine obedience, you understand? The ultimate purpose of it is to bring glory to God. And that is the purpose of my sister. To glorify God on behalf. We are the vessels of his glory. We are vessels of honor in the hand of the Lord. And Paul said, well, if this is the place you want me to take the position, you want me to take, you know, say, God is good by me because that is all that I'm living for. I'm just living for you. Hallelujah. Because the obedience of one man brought me to where I am today. So that those who are alive must live for that one who obeys God. Therefore, now I'm living for the purpose of God for my life. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray that God is going to help you bring your faculties. God is going to help you bring you, he's going to bring you to the dimension of mature sons. When you begin to sit in the conference room of God, you begin to sit in the boardroom of God, you begin to sit, you know, in the executive room of God, you begin to legislate over the affairs of life, you begin to ask God, the management, the angels, the host of heaven. The Bible says you come to Mount Zion, the city of the firstborn. So the innumerable company of angels, in the midst of all of those hosts, you understand, Jesus said, yes, I will break the sea. Nobody could go ahead and break the sea. He obeyed God. He said, nobody. He said, listen, he said, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one that picked up that responsibility. Look, some person went, this is going to hurt me, it's going to pay me, it's going to cost me something, but yet, I've got to obey God. I've got to obey God. I've got to keep holding on to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I've got to keep holding on to God. I've got to keep holding on to God. That is the place of the cross in our life as a believer. God is infusing strength and energy to manifest the works of our life and to restore and install, you understand, the grace of God into our life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for this purpose, the crown of God manifests and might destroy the rock. When you embrace the cross, the works of the devil is shattered and destroyed in your life. Because the Bible will say, Jesus himself, you know, he said, he chose death, disarm the one. The heart, the power of death. That is one way you can handle the devil useless and, you know, impotent. He begins to lose his control and his power over your life. His dominion over your life is lost. The moment you begin to embrace the offer of God, you begin to take it with joy. You understand? He said, "Cast whosoever will come after me, was denying himself, pick up his cross." And it's only the cross carrier, you understand, that can follow the Lamb of glory. Only the cross carrier can follow the Lamb of glory. Those who have not paid to self, they cannot honor the Lord that way. And Jesus said, too, you know, so long the world will keep his life, and this world is what he's using. He said, "Whosoever will ready to let go on his from me, you understand, he says, will have it back." And he said, those who touch the Lord this way shall be honored by my Father. It's not everyone that is serving the Lord that way, carrying the cross. Glory to God. That's why you're going to see. That's why we have a different understanding about the power of God today. We thought the power of God is all this charismatic display, all this ecstatic manifestation of the charismatic. That's not the operation of the gift of the Spirit, but that's not the power of God. You understand? That's not, it's not going to teach your character. It's not going to bring stability into your life. That doesn't mean that you'll be set back in your walk with God. That doesn't mean that you're in the right walk and represent with God. That doesn't mean when the devil comes to frighten and intimidate you, you're not going to be great. You understand? So we're not living by the gift. We are living by the grace of God. We are living by faith in the word of God. We are trusting our life in this time. I say, Lord, we place the position that you want me to take. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to take that position. Now just imagine. God said, well, Lord Paul, this is what I want you to do for me. You are going to leave without helmets? Yes, I'm going to make my glory manifest through your life. He said, in the weakness, I will make my strength happen. I will be able to walk freely through you. I will be able to walk freely through you. I will be able to walk freely through you. Well, that's what I'm living for. That's divine obedience. That is the cross. That is the message of the cross. He must have I just will. You understand? He said, I own nothing. I live for nothing else. I only live for one thing. Hallelujah. That I might finish my race with God. I might finish my race. He wants nothing for himself. He is one looking for self-glory. Glory to God. He said those people who want to circumcise you, the reason why they want to circumcise you is so that they can begin to arrogate that kind of honor and to their self-esteem and their ego. You understand? For ego boost. He said, no, he said, but I glory in no man. I don't glory in all of those things. I only glory in the cross. He said, through the cross. He said, for I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. I'm only happy with what the cross have come to offer me. Glory to God. That's why to a lot of people today, they see that weakness. They perceive the cross as foolishness and stupidity. But the Bible says to us who believe, that is the wisdom and the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the power of God. That is the power of God. I see the power of God be released unto you right now. You see, it's the power of God I'm talking about here. It's not just by laying on of hands. You know, somebody going to lay hands on you as I release the power of God. The power of God will lead to manage your life, the affairs of your life, and live above the top of life, walking in victory and dominion. It's not going to come by laying on of hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's going to come by spiritual impartation. It's going to come by the knowledge of the word of God. The force of the cross to begin to impact, you know, grace into your life. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You begin to disconnect from the world to begin to look up to God for everything. He said, I can do all things through Christ. He said, who is equal such a task? He said, but my sufficiency is of God who has made me. That is the cross. He's glory not boasting in the flesh, but what God can do through his life. That's a dead man. Only a dead man can serve the Lord. And God is calling us to come and die. I remember many years back, I said that message, come and die. Our invitation is to come and die. Because if you don't come to die, you cannot truly live. The corn of wheat must fall to and die. Another time, or else we are by the Lord. If God is calling us to life of fruitfulness, then we must see beyond the dead. We must begin to see the new life, the power that is injected into our spirit. That is why through Christ Jesus, life and immortality have been made to appear in the face of Jesus. So we are seen beyond the cross. We are seen beyond the border of death. We see death as a transition, as the force and power that will translate into a new dimension of life. Because it's a call that we will stop and die. He abides alone. Most times we are not concerned. We must not be concerned about we dying. We are only happy because we know that we don't want to abide alone. We want to live a fruitful life. That's why we set up things before us. The Bible says Jesus, because of the joy set before him, he despised the shame of the cross. The devil cannot predict us, he cannot understand us. The way of God and the truth of the Spirit is so deep. The wisdom of God, the foolishness of God rather, is wiser than the wisdom of man. He has come to bring to naught the foolishness of man. You understand? That is the wisdom of man rather. Because the wisdom of man cannot produce this new form of life. That's why God making mockery of them in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 3. He said, you are wise, you are intelligent. Why is it that a man is marrying another man? Why is it that a woman is running after another woman? So you don't have the power to control yourself again and see that you are not animals, you are not beasts. The Bible says they soon will not know how to live. They will not even begin to live like animals. So all your intelligence, your wisdom cannot produce godliness. So where is the wisdom of the wise? Show me. It can build roads. It can construct dams. It can produce electricity. But it lacks character. It lacks the force of godliness. That is why we are in Christ Jesus. We are connecting to the life of God. It's not just all about you coming to church, but in you becoming part of Christ. It's all about you coming to the kingdom. I believe God is raising kingdom citizens. He says, I'm concerned about kingdom citizens. The Bible says, God wants all men saved, but listen to me. But that is not enough. He also wants to bring many sons unto glory. The purpose of his coming is to bring us unto sonship. It's to bring us to the place that as we are by our life, we begin to bring glory and honor to God. So I believe, this is the season that God is giving the force into our life. It's injecting the power. Every time you deny yourself of certain things, you're going to see Christ's power is going to come and rest upon you. Before you know it, God's objective is being fulfilled through you. The only way through which God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven is when the men who are representing the kingdom of God on earth are willing to obey God by dying, by embracing the cross. Hallelujah. So it's not enough for us to just be taking the confessional statement and be reading those church rudiments of prayer and that we begin to repeat every time. It's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You do not be done on earth until someone says, I'm ready to die for my own personal desire. The way Jesus died was not desire. He lived not unto himself. He seeks not his own interest. He was seeking the interest of others. He was seeking the interest of God. He was after the purpose of God. That is when the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not that times that we are doing something that looks similar to the will of God. You understand? But not as it is in heaven. Not that there's an heavenly standard. Men have their own standard. That people will still say, oh, it is wonderful, it is a very nice God, but it's not from the standard of God. When God begins to see, as it is in heaven, according to the standard raised by God. It's that all men are sinned and they are falling short of the glory. You know, it's not to say that they don't meet up with the standard, but they are falling short of God's standard. And so we want to live our life at par with God's standard for our life. That's why we are walking obedience to the cross. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he obeyed. He obeyed unto death, even the death of the cross. And God has added him for the time, exalt him, and give him a name that is above all names. The holy name of Jesus.
Yes.
God wants us to walk in dominion and power. So we must see the moment you are ready to die, you understand, that's when you begin to walk in dominion and power. Your life begins to carry anointing, begins to carry grace. That is why I believe that authority must be established from the true position. What makes you to be a man of authority is not a bishopric title that you have. It's not the position you occupy in the ecclesiastical order. It is not in terms of, you know, the long chain that you see the bishops, you know, they put on, the cross chain, cross pendant, golden pendant. That is not authority. It's not in the bishopric ring. You know, the other time I saw someone, I said, well, I pray for you with this ring, not the ring. You're praying for you. Are you this and this man? Are you a magician? That is not authority. And this is like a lot of perversion in the church today. And it's creeping into Pentecostal church. We are going back into the north. We don't want to go down. Glory to God. It is a man of obedience that can carry authority and power.
That's right.
You know, Joseph was in prison, but another person was the culprit. Who we fear most? Joseph or that woman? That is authority and power. But you have to be able to raise the rod of authority and power over the kingdom of darkness, the obedience of the complete. That is what God is saying. When you want nothing, then your obedience can be completed. You become a terror for the forces that want to terrorize your life. You are not afraid of the enemy. I know Joseph will not be afraid of that woman in jail for no reason. It's that woman that will be trying to judge Joseph. But because Joseph knew this is authority and power, let your life begin to command respect. Let your life begin to command authority. That is when you are willing to make some sacrifices. The sacrifices you make today, and those who will serve God, who are his saints, they should be men of sacrifice. Glory to God. There's something you are called to sacrifice. That's what makes your life to command respect and authority. I don't know what God is demanding from you. I don't know who God said you have to disassociate yourself from. I don't know those who God said disconnect from. I don't know, you know, where you used to go and God said don't go to that place again. I don't know the kind of restraint that God is bringing into your life. You understand? I don't know. You understand? But that's what will make your life to begin to command divine respect and authority to become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. When you obey God, when you carry your cross, the devil is afraid of you.
Amen.
Because there's nothing he can do about your case. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the things that he used to you, all the things that he trusted in. You understand? You know, the Bible says the weak of where he trusted in. You know, he has a way of doing his own things and playing his tricks that he has trusted in that. When I gambled this in his face, I made this desire to be aroused within him, I will get him. You understand? And by the time it comes around, the only desire you now have is to do the will of God for your life. So not following the prescription of the devil, but ready to follow God's prescribed order. What happened? You have handicapped the devil. You have handcuffed him. You have rendered him useless and impotent. This is the path of grace. This is the path of honor. This is the way our life can begin to command respect and begin to wave the rod of authority and power in the realm of the spirit. You don't need to worry about who is going to be against you, who is going to walk against you, who is going to pray against you, who is going to think evil about you and all of those things. When you are one with God like that, this to me, leave your enemies to the behalf of God. Your battle has become the Lord's battle. God has changed that the one that wants your back. Hallelujah. How many of you know that changes don't just listen to everybody? He said he makes his ministers like flame of fire and make his angels spirit. And know what food they listen to? They listen to the saints. They listen to those who are the servants of God, those who are serving the purpose of God. Those who say that, you see, even when you see, you know, something that looks so risky and so injurious, you know, to your own personal welfare, and you say, this is the direction God wants you to promise to God. Say, God, I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to follow you.
Yes.
Listen to me. You are going to be a threat to the enemy.
Yes.
The devil didn't even expect it. He thought that he could help him to hide the boss and all of those, you know, for leads of Paul and all of those senior prophets, you understand, to discourage Paul from going to that place to work for God. And he said, who was this God? And Paul said, that was the God. There's nothing you are saying now that is a news. God has already told me. Why? Because God has shown to me by revelation that bonds and affliction are with me everywhere that I go. But he didn't say that as you run away from bonds and affliction, I'm ready to suffer at the reproach of Christ with thee. Wow. That's how I got all the time. The hands of the devil just come down.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, so this is how we go. He said, when they saw that it could not be done, they said, let the will of God be done. And I pray that the will of God be done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And all the forces that are militating against you, standing in the center of God's will for your life, they are not going to prosper any longer.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be able to convince you any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are driven by the conviction of the truth of the word of God. You have come to the realization of the love of God in your heart and in your soul. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In the mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I
would like to show you a few things. I would like to show a few things before we go. I think we just, how many minutes do we have now? Praise God.
5 minutes.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to see the power of God. The power of God. The power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's read from verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances to all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you do not come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Come and say, God is faithful. Yes.
God is faithful.
Hallelujah. So you are called to the fellowship of his Son. You see, these are strong words that God is using the Lord. These are calling. It's called, God, come, let's share it together. Fellowship of his Son. God is faithful. It's a privilege. Come, let's share these things together. Let's share my throne together. Let's rule the affairs of the world together. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Can we be in the same fellowship and we have the same mind and we have the same judgment over things we know that is clearly revealed in the word of God? Everybody has his own divergent views. That people are going to call you back and say, well, this is what I feel about it, this is my opinion. What is your opinion about the word of God? Truths that are clearly revealed in the word of God. So there's division in this church. So I see that the victory of Jesus, you know, can become a thing of reality. I see that these people can live as the full producer of his resurrection power. I see that they can be a true witness that indeed Jesus is alive. He died and he was raised again. And his life is on the inside of earth. When I see the life you are living, I know the life that you are carrying. Praise the name of the Lord. Because your deeds reveal your purity. When I see the fruit of a tree, then I know that it's an orange tree. I know that it's a guava tree because I see the fruit. But it's not the fruit of salvation in this place. So what I encourage them, let there be no division among you. Because they were living as mere men. Look at this. They have not embraced the cross. He said, but it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there were contentions among you, fights in the church. Because is that the sign of victory? You know why there's fight in the church? Nobody wants us to come. Nobody wants to say, everybody wants his own opinion to come. Echo is still there, it's not yet there. I've not embraced the cross. You understand? He said, well, it's my opinion that must come. You understand? He said, it's reported to me by the house of Chloe that there is fight in the church. They're going to see families fighting against another family in the church. And some people are going to move away from the church and say, they are fighting the pastor. The pastor is fighting them, but this is happening. Fight quarrels in the church over trivial issues at hand. I'm sure people that in the church are going to see that people who are complaining, say, this person is dating my wife, or this person is dating my husband. You know, a single sister dating a married man dating a single sister. In the church, it's not because, no, I'm going to say that we are not saved. We are born again. You understand? But we are children of disobedience. We are not taking another step further. We are not happy to our faith, virtue. We are not diligent enough. We don't want to pay the price. We are not ready to let go of some things or that. The lustful desire of our flesh will not come to put an end to it. It's only the cross that can free us from the corruption of the world. The Bible says, you know, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Second Peter 1. Be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Son of God and my precious promises. He said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. So you escape the corruption, you understand, because it's our lustful desire that brings corruption into our life. That's why you're going to see that the root of the corruption of the flesh is the corruption of the soul. When the spirit is corrupt, you understand, then you're going to be corrupt in the flesh. The filthiness of the flesh and the filthiness of the spirit. So when you carry a wrong spirit, you have a lustful desire. You only want things for yourself and not for the glory of God. Then we are going to see all the things that we are seeing all around the place today. And all these things are happening so that God might be justified. Glory to God. You see, you are wrong. You see that you are wrong. I'm right. Are you still claiming you're right? I think you need me. You better receive me into your life. Take the hope that I've given unto you. Use the medication I gave unto you. You will not be cured or healed of your sickness. Jesus said, he will say, sure that the son shall set free, shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. He has the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall be free unless we listen to this to him. He said, this is the son, or else we'll be happy in the house. Be angry. Look at this. By them which are of the house of clay, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollo. I am Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I'm baptized not of you, but Christmas and Gaius, lest any should say that I am baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanos. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the wisdom of words, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It shows that we must not be fed of the cross. Glory to God. And until we begin to identify with the cross, you understand, there is no way our life can give back to the effects of the cross. Hallelujah. What is the effect of the cross in your life? What is the effect of death to serve in your life? What is the effect of what Christ Jesus did in your life? And I believe the cross has only one message, that's the love of God. Mm-hmm. That is ultimate love. What is it that the love of God has taken away from your life? What is it that you are willing to let go on the account of the love of God? You look at the scope of the love of God and say, Lord, there's nothing you demand from me that I'm not able to let go. That's what we call the message of the cross. Praise the Lord. Or else you make it of none effect. If God is the one that now died for you, then you have to follow the Paul. It's what Paul said that you're going to do. But you follow the one who died for you. I'm going to see pastors today, you understand, who want to begin to call themselves an idol. And we are living in a time of personality worship. As we worship personality, we are not worshiping God in the church. He said, we've got to redirect the attention of the people to Christ who died for them, so that their commitment will be to the one who died for them, not for the pastor. You see, we get blessed for it when people are more committed and loyal to us than they are loyal to God. There are people who can cut off their ears for you, who can cut off another person's ears, you know, on your behalf, you understand? But they are living, they are rebels, they are just rebels. They are disobedient to God, they've not known the one who really died for them. That's why our work is to lead people up with God. Glory to God. Let the cross of Christ become of no effect. So we are not picking ourselves, but Christ and Him crucified. And that's what the devil will not allow people to see. Because the day you see Christ who is crucified, the one who died for your sin, who paid the full penalty for your sin, who redeemed you from the curse of the law, listen to me, you will follow Him with all of your life. Because no other person can ever be a substitute to Him in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Name of the Lord. He said, for the preaching of the cross is for them that perish foolishness.
That's right.
But with us, we start saying it is the power of God. That's where I'm going tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to pick it up from there next week. For those who are perishing, it's foolishness.
Yes.
So what Christ did is foolishness. That's why what you do today, people consider it as foolishness. You know, and it takes the foolishness of the gospel. You understand?
Yes.
To bring men to the obedience of the truth. It is that foolish thing that brought me and you to that place. It will have called down religion and destroyed all his enemies and opposition. He will have silenced all his adversaries and yet walk away in their midst and disappear like Professor Pella. You understand? But yet, he abides in the will of God. Glory to God. Foolishness to some people.
Thank you.
He said, but to us, that's the power of God. I see divine power being released for you. The Bible says, you know, by divine power, he has given us to us.
Yes.
That is the divine power being released.
Amen.
That is the divine power, divine ability. Power is being infused. And every time you take that step for God, power is being infused into your spirit. You will not just have the form of godliness, but you will have the force of godliness. It's not enough for you to know what is right. You need the grace of God to carry out what you know to be true and what you know to be right order of God. Father, we thank you for this season of revelation and insight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are the only one who can teach us the way of the cross.
Yes.
Because it's beyond human logic. It's because beyond our natural imagination. It's beyond what we can use wisdom of man to teach, but what the Holy Ghost teaches himself. He said, it shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their strength. All you want is for us to walk in divine obedience, and you are moving us to a place in our life whereby we begin to obey God. You said, when our obedience is complete, our complete obedience is when we begin to embrace the cross.
Amen.
When we choose to die to some things, when we choose to let go, when we choose to live a life of self-denial, when we choose to live for the desire of God and not our own natural desire. That is only then we can see the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't just want to leave us with rhetoric, whereby we are just taking mere confession. Thy will be done on earth. When there are people who are not sitting down and saying, Daddy, which role do you want me to play? In order to see that your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you are bringing us into your boardroom. You are bringing us into your secret place.
Yes.
Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Yes. All that needed to be pulled, all that needed to be cut off from our life.
Yes.
Lord, we say you remove it, O God.
Yes.
All the things that cannot stand the glory of God,
yes,
let it waste away in our life,
yes,
so that our lives can be visited with the fullness of your glory and of your power.
Yes.
Lord, we said those people, they will not accept the media.
Yes, Lord.
Yet they were faithful unto God. God, we thank you. You are giving us that kind of a spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yet they were obedient unto God. They faced, you know, tragic situation of life, contradictions of life. They say they are soft of the enemy. They have an offer to just to come to prayer, but they refuse to succumb to prayer. They are obedient even unto death. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, give us that kind of grace.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your servant that you have used tonight to give unto us out of the abundance of the supply of your spirit. Therefore, we ask for a renewal, a refreshing, a re-energizing, a re-equipping by the power of your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And so everyone who has had tonight, Job said, with the hearing of the ear, I have heard you. Now I see you. Lord, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that Jesus, Son of the Living God, you will be truly real in the life of every era of this world tonight, that our life will be made conformable even to that which is of Christ, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, that when the time of reckoning comes, Lord, that our life will produce the effective result of the word of God that we have heard, that through us, you will impact our world, our nation, in that we will go forth as your proof of the word of God that is written and read by all men, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now unto you, our God and our King, who is faithful and able, our God that performed the word of your servant and established every word that has gone forth out of the mouth of your messenger tonight. Unto you who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or imagine, we declare tonight that we have removed every limitation, Lord, that you will do your work in us as you are the one who is at work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure, that indeed our life will be made pleasurable unto you. It will be pleasing unto you, that truly we will find our treasure and our pleasure in you as you manifest your power even through divine obedience in the life of every prevailer around the world. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Amen.